Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geeks and Noobs podcast. We are back. Took a little bit of a time off last week with some scheduling conflicts and needed a little bit of a mental break. For those of my Wrestling with Toxicity fans, unfortunately, I had to cancel this past Tuesday due to an ear infection, which I'm still getting over, but it's mostly gone. But we're back. We're here. And we are ready to talk She-Hulk episode 5 and 6. But first and foremost, if you could please hit that follow button if you're on Twitch. If you could subscribe and be generous, that'd be absolutely wonderful. It'd help us out a great big deal. You can also use your Prime subscription. Make Jeffrey Bezos pay for it. So that's always fun. If you're on YouTube, please hit that like and subscribe button. Hit that notification bell so you know every time we go live. Very soon, we're going to be getting a lot of new stuff coming up. Anybody that follows us on TikTok, you're going to start seeing our videos on YouTube Shorts first. It's going to be our home. So we're going to be expanding TGN networks here very soon. Also, if you're looking at us on Facebook, please hit that thumbs up button. Give us a follow there. If you could hit up the other channels and give us follows there as well, that would be fantastic. Now, as we said, we took last week off, so we didn't get to talk episode 5. So today we're going to talk episode 5 and 6. Great. Denise says, what's up, gents? Great episode this week. Absolutely it was. I think both Denise. 5 and 6 were both great episodes. 6 to me especially was like, there was a concern that 6 or 7 might be a filler episode. 6 actually was a filler episode, but she flat out told you that from the beginning. Yeah. And okay. I loved every second of that. The callouts in the show have been phenomenal.
Very.
Marvel has such an ear to the pulse of what's going on, and they're hearing everything. All you toxic assholes, they're hearing you, and they're making fun of you every step of the way. I also love at the, we're going to jump around 5 and 6 here. We're not going to try to do this linearly. I'll give you a quick synopsis of both here in a second. But at the end of episode 5, we did get that Daredevil teaser. We saw his helmet in the fashion icon, and the fashion icon's wardrobe, yeah. Warehouse, whatever that thing was. And so everybody expected that we'd get a Matt Murdock this episode, and we did not. They really called you out on it. Like, nope, the episode called just Jen. Because you know, Daredevil dick writers are need to shut up because the show is about her, not about him.
He'll get his show later. Be patient.
Yeah, he'll pop up. He'll have his moment, but it's about Jen, about She-Hulk. And that's what I think this episode 6 did even better than any other series, is they really let you know that this is her show. Also, there's been complaints about, it's supposed to be a law show, but there's no law. These last two episodes, we've had plenty of it.
Yeah.
Episode 5. When we left episode 4, Jen got served with papers that Titania had copyrighted the name She-Hulk and was suing her over the use of it. Most of that episode was about, in fact, her fighting that and basically having to embarrass herself publicly because she needed proof that she had been using the name in some capacity, and she had made that dating profile as She-Hulk. So every guy got up on the stand and said, oh yeah, I was there for She-Hulk. I wasn't there for Jen. But in a much more embarrassing way.
Yeah. I felt bad for Jen in episode 5. She had to degrade herself that much
just to win the case.
And I was just like, felt so bad for her. I really did. Because one thing I really found interesting when I got thinking about it after I watched this episode today is that Marvel is totally flipping the Hulk, the way the public views Hulk and She-Hulk. With Bruce Banner, nobody knows who Bruce Banner is except for, you know, people like S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers and all that. But everybody in the world knows who the Hulk is. He's a hulking destroying monster that can level a city if he wanted to. And everybody fears him. Where on the flip side with She-Hulk, very few people know Jim because she's a lawyer, but the world loves She-Hulk and wants more of her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It kind of shows the MCU right now where superheroes are very much like Titania has power, so she's able to become an influencer because she has power. Like, the world is so accepting of superpowers and people with powers now that it is what it is. And so She-Hulk went from being some kind of an outcast to almost like Jen's now the outcast, and She-Hulk is the accepted persona, which I find fascinating. Denise also brings up that in this episode, episode 6, we see that Nikki, the paralegal, has become far more relevant. There was some, what is this side character? Why is she getting play? But what we see in these last two episodes, really, because Nikki is. So the other story in episode 5 is She-Hulk getting clothes that will change with her. So instead of having like a super baggy outfit when she's Jen, just so that when she grows into She-Hulk, it doesn't tear, she now has a fabric that will morph with her. It will change shape with her. It's a stretchable, breathable outfit. She also got a hero's outfit, but we haven't seen that yet. We've seen it in the trailers,
Thanks very
but we
much.
haven't seen it yet. And Nikki was the one, her and Pug were the ones that got her in contact with this guy, the Edna
The
Mole
drip.
of the MCU, if you will.
Yeah, the drip broker.
Yeah, the drip broker. And then in this one, we see Nikki help Marlena, I believe that's her name, help her settle the case with none other than Mr. Immortal and all his ex-spouses, his wives and husband. And Nikki just absolutely owns the scene. She helps break down eight cases all at once. The whole, you get 15 seconds of eye contact. Oh, now it's 20 because you're going to be a dick. But I love the inclusion of Mr. Immortal. He is this D-list character who was on the West Coast Avengers for quite some time. A character whose really only ability is that he can't die. So he is truly cannon fodder a lot of the times. He'll take shots. He'll take, he gets thrown in the middle of stuff, thrown on top of bombs, stuff like that. He's a pitiful character who hates his existence and just wants to die all the time. The reworking of the character to be somebody who just doesn't like conflict, and he'd rather just kill himself in essence, like you for sharing a stream, Cal. Who
I
in
got you.
essence will basically, f in a way, fake his own death just to get out of because it's so much neater and quicker than filing for an actual divorce. So I love the inclusion of that character. I thought that was great. It's a great representation of him. Because again, he's very much a D-list character. He's very, if D might be pushing it, he is literally a throwaway character. He's literally a character that gets, he is cannon fodder. It's all he is.
Is the best kind of cannon fodder because you can reuse
Yeah,
them.
and he's just, that's exactly his purpose. And even though he actually led the West Coast Avengers for a time, it was when the team was truly just a bunch of misfits. It was the most misfit version of that team. He was just cannon fodder. So seeing him come in, I thought was great as well. The entire wedding thing was great. I'm worried that Josh is not who he seems to be, but that's also very tropey, and I hope it's not a trope. I hope he really is just genuinely into Jen and not trying to get to her. But we did get a moment with whoever is going after her blood. You just saw like people in lab coats in their hands, and they created a new needle that should pierce her Hulk skin now. So now that person didn't have green skin. So the leader, if
Yeah,
this is the villain, would
and there was
have.
two people in
Yeah,
that
there was
lab.
multiple people in that lab. So this
Oh.
could have just been a lab worker doing it, but they didn't show anybody's face on purpose. So I got to give him credit there. But I
Two
really hope
people.
that Josh is not. I really hope he's not just like a plant, somebody to get close to her. I really hope he's like genuinely into her. Like I don't want that trope. It's so tropey. Don't want that. But at the same time, if he is, it fits with the whole narrative of the show. It fits with the law comedy, the somebody using their, the insecurities of Jen to get close kind of thing. Yeah, because and that's a great point, because they're showing that clip and then immediately it pans to the two of them sharing fries. And so going from that clip in the lab immediately to them sharing fries, that's harder to say than you think. It's kind of it's almost scary that we're gonna get that trope. Like I hope not, but probably. I'm not gonna be like if you expect disappointment, you'll never be disappointed kind of thing. It's kind of like I'm expecting it to happen. I'll be pleasantly surprised if it doesn't. But also, I thought it was again, we got another Titania hype fight. This one was a little bit more like Titania actually stood a bit more of a chance, but still slipped on ice, busted her veneers. I thought that was funny.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious.
It just that's how Titania should be. It should be like it's so often in the comics she'd show up for a panel or two, get her butt beat, and then be done. And I think that that's kind of how this should go. She is that kind of like, and the fact that they're playing her as an influencer and all that kind of stuff, and it's literally just jealousy, which is all Titania really. It's just jealousy in the comics. She hates She-Hulk solely for jealousy reasons. So,
Because She-Hulk is the better version of her.
yeah, exactly.
And
Exactly.
she's getting all, and like we said before, she's getting all this popularity and everything. And, it makes her jealous. And it works even better with her being a social media influencer just because of the fact that, yeah, she had her moment in spotlight. Now there's somebody new that is literally related to a key Avenger. So, of course, everybody's going to focus, shift their focus.
I think if you're on Twitch, we've run into an ad. Hope not. But we'll just keep going. Don't want to bring this up yet because I want to see. Let's get through this ad first. If there is an ad, I can't tell. Oh, yep, there's an ad.
Okay.
So, for my YouTube people who are watching this or on Facebook, you're not getting the ad. So good for you. But there's an ad on Twitch, so I'm not going to bring up this point until we get back from it. But yeah, Titania, it's just pure jealousy. They modernized it with the influencer side of it. This is how she gets all her popularity, but now her popularity is going to wane. But there's still her diehard fans that no matter what she does, that she's the victim kind of
Oh yeah.
thing, which is very
We've seen
prevalent
that
to
plenty
what
of
we,
times.
yeah, it's very prevalent to what we do.
Yeah.
We've seen creators on TikTok who play the victim card, even though they're the ones that stepped in it. There's also a lot of stuff going on with Twitch right now, which I don't want to get into, but that's gotten crazy as well. So it looks like we're back from the ad, so that's good. So another point I want to bring up is that we had a moment where Jen forgot how to Hulk out. She was so drunk she couldn't quite remember how to do it. And that shows a lot to the control she has as the character, is
Yeah.
that it is truly a mental feat to just She-Hulk out. It was something that we kind of touched on with Hulk in Infinity War, in that, with him, it's two different personalities, so they were fighting, so he couldn't change. But the fact that this ability is not just physical, it is mental as well. There is a mental fortitude to it. And she was so drunk she couldn't just be angry, even though she did get sucker punched after throw, just after throwing up. But yeah, I feel like I thought that was a really cool moment to see, like, in a very drunken state, which she was very drunk,
Oh yeah, and
she
let's just be
forgot.
thankful that Jen is a happy drunk and not an angry drunk.
Yes. Very happy drunk. We got the whole dance sequence at the wedding. I thought was great.
Yeah.
Like I said, in the very beginning of this episode, she flat out tells you it's an inconvenient filler episode, but that's how weddings are. They're inconvenient. And the fact that
Yeah.
somebody was getting married on a Thursday was gonna be, and by the way, getting married to a dog. Got married to a dog. An old dog at that.
Yeah.
Which that's unfortunately, not that crazy anymore.
No, unfortunately.
Like
Because you should.
people get married to roller coasters, people get married to their beds, people get married to themselves, people get married to their pets. It's kind of the norm. It's crazy
Yeah,
that that's the norm, but
that's what I was about to bring up. I remember when being younger, and you see on like the tabloids or the TV tabloid shows where people go out to international waters and get married to animals or whatever, and just thinking, God, that is just weird. Now it's just like, oh, okay.
yeah, just kind of like, yeah, there it goes.
Yep, must be Tuesday.
Future says, wait, I thought the dog was a groomsman for Jen. I mean, maybe, but I thought she said it was Jonathan, and I could have sworn her husband to be was Jonathan.
I don't remember. I have to rewatch it.
I'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah, I only got to watch it once today.
Yeah, I'll have to rewatch it, but I could have sworn she said her hu like her husband was Jonathan. But maybe that was like the "Don't worry, Jen, we would never leave you hanging." And then here's your groomsman that you got to walk with, and it's a dog and an old dog at that. So that
Yeah.
might be it too, which would be just as funny. But like I said, this is our point though. It is so normal nowadays that you hear about people marrying the pets that I'm not even shocked that it could be she was marrying the dog.
No.
And if you noticed, the groom was never shown. And I could have sworn they said that the dog's name was Jonathan and the groom's name was Jonathan. But again, I'll have to go back and watch it just to make sure. Either way, it's funny, but it's also, again, how weird is it that it's not weird the fact that she was
Yeah.
marrying a dog?
Also, you never saw the groom the
Yeah.
in any part of the wedding. Not even at the rehearsal dinner. At least not that I noticed.
No, not at all. I mean, I know Josh said that he was a friend of the groom's, but has in such become friends with both. But I mean, it could be he's a vet tech. I don't know. It could be. So I'll go back and watch it. But either way, like I said, it's weird that it's not weird to me oh, she's marrying the dog. All
Yeah.
right. I forgot the name of the actress who's playing that character. I think the name was Lulu, the character. She was in the latest Sandra Bullock movie called The Lost City, and it's Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum, and Daniel Radcliffe plays the villain, and it's great. It's a very funny movie. If anybody has Paramount Plus, I highly recommend you go watch it. Very, very funny. Sandra Bullock plays a romance novelist who's actually a historical archaeologist, but her history books weren't selling, so she added the element of romance to it. Channing Tatum plays her cover model. Daniel Radcliffe is an eccentric billionaire who reads one of her books, knowing that there's historical accuracy to him, and wants to find this lost city. So he kidnaps her. And Channing Tatum thinks that the only way he can prove himself to her is to, go and rescue her. Brad Pitt's in it, and he's hilarious. It's a great, great film. But she's in it as her new social media publicist, and she's awesome in it. So I love the actress. Cannot remember her name, save my life, but I love her. She's great. Very, very funny. I did like the dichotomy of at first when she showed up as She-Hulk in her dress, that she's like, "You're taking the spotlight away from me," blah blah blah. She said, "No, don't worry, I'll be Jen at the wedding." And then the fight happens and she looks pissed, but then she's so drunk, she's like, "Oh my God, She-Hulk's at my wedding."
Yeah,
So there's
I thought that was really weird because, like Jim was saying at the beginning of episode six, they were friends in what, high school or college?
high school.
In high school, they talked on social media, but just stopped talking. They haven't seen each other in years. And then all of a sudden, she's a bridesmaid in this girl's wedding. She hadn't talked to in years, but doesn't want her to be She-Hulk with all this pe popularity. I just find that really odd.
Yeah, I think that secretly she did. And that's I think that was shown by her being drunk and not and being obviously your inhibitions are down and the truth comes out, and she
Yeah.
was just like, "Oh my God, she's here at my wedding. This is so awesome." That kind of
Yeah.
thing. I think that's the reality of it, was that she was basically using her. That's why she didn't have, like there was this like, "Oh, what about me? Oh, can you clean this up?" Like as Jen, she was basically being made to do all
Yeah.
the grunt work and stuff. And so, and nobody talked to her while she was Jen, except for Josh.
No.
Like everybody just like, "Oh, can you iron these? You're on iron duty," blah 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 blah.
Yeah, how in the hell do you wrinkle a shirt playing a switch?
Oh yeah, Bridezilla for sure, because half the staff quit on her because of her attitude.
Yeah.
But then again, if the dog thing is true and she's marrying the dog, I understand her being a Bridezilla because she's already whacked out of her head.
Yeah.
So I get it. I found it fun. I don't know how Titania found out about the wedding, because it was very obvious by her date when they showed him. It was a very like just a geeky dude. She literally just like charmed this guy into being the plus one. Kind of thing, like so. How she? I don't know how she found out about the wedding, but I thought that was funny. And Jen has not been wrong on anything yet, but nobody believes her as Jen, which
Yeah.
I think is still part of the problem. That she's still not being taken seriously, but again, I again filler episode, but a great filler. Like Marvel is so self-aware They've heard the complaints, they've heard everything. And another part of the awareness, jumping into episode six, is during the divorce, the Mr. Mortal divorce thing was a thing called Intelligica. Intelligentsia. It's a play on the word intelligent, and it's a play on QAnon, dark web kind of site. Then we see, like, Nikki looks into it and sees that there are, literal death threats against She-Hulk, but still, a lot of the comments are taken directly out of actual social media. Marvel once again calling out the toxic fan base and calling them out, like, oh, cancel She-Hulk, this is crap, blah blah blah. I can't even say it one time, Denise. How am I supposed to say it three times fast? I couldn't even say it once. But yeah, so I liked.
And give the poor boy a brain aneurysm. Stop it, Denise.
Yeah, I loved another call out against the toxic fandom. I loved how self-aware Marvel is with this series. And this is the perfect series to be self-aware with, somebody who breaks the fourth wall.
I was gonna say the same thing. I mean, you couldn't do this kind of self-awareness for Marvel knowing what is going on in any other show or movie, unless She-Hulk is gonna be in it one way or another.
Okay, Future went back, said, okay, I just went back to into the episode. Jonathan is not the groom, he is just a dog, but Jen's groomsman partner. Okay, just as bad, but again, like, it's kind of sad that in today's day and age, we're not even shocked if she is marrying her dog. But again, there's Jen getting the short end of the stick. Her groomsman partner is a dog. So, if you're watching this on Twitch, we're going to take a quick commercial break, 60 seconds. And we'll be right back, but we're going to keep the discussion going for YouTube and Facebook. But the reality is, yeah, it's either way. I mean, it's Jen's getting the short end of the stick. I almost think, actually, honestly, the dog being her groomsman partner is actually worse. That whole, like, oh, don't worry,
And I was like, are you kidding me?
we wouldn't
I
leave you
mean,
hanging. We wouldn't, we're not going to do that to you, Jen. You're too important. Here's your groomsman. And it's a dog who is so old he can't keep his tongue in his mouth. You're going to have to carry him. So, yeah, it's.
Ugh.
Again, Jen's just getting the short of the stick, left, right, and
These last
center.
two episodes have just made me feel so bad for Jen. I want to know what she did before she got the Bruce's blood in her system. Did this stuff happen to her on a regular before she became She-Hulk?
I think that she was, well, a predominant deputy district attorney. She had worked her way up.
Because it really does seem like up to the point in episode one, what we do get a background on Jen, she was leading a fairly normal life. But now all this stuff is happening, and she's just getting shit on hard and heavy.
Well, I think I do believe that part of it is just it's kind of the norm for women nowadays. Here's a successful woman who isn't like a runway model, even though Tatiana Maslany is very attractive. She's not a runway model. She's a lawyer. She's not an influencer or anything like that. So she's not, she is what she is. So men don't pay attention to her. The ones that are working with her treat her like shit, like Dennis. She's still treated like a subservient person because she just happens to be a woman. There's still the whole, issue about equality and everything else, and so she's still treated she but I think she it was just the norm. But now that she's seen the other side of that coin as She-Hulk, she's getting treated with respect, she's getting treated with admiration, that it makes the Gen times far more highlighted now. And that's what we're getting to see, is that, oh, this is how she is normally treated, even though she's this exceptionally successful lawyer at the highest. And yet she's still treated like shit, but now it's more highlighted because she's seeing that as She-Hulk, I get admiration. As She-Hulk, I get fans. As She-Hulk, I get treated like a goddess. And as Jen, I get treated like every other woman on the planet. I get treated like shit, even by other women. Men don't find me attractive, even though I am a very attractive person. My success scares some of them. Women find me also kind of like they're standoffish because I'm very successful at what I do, even though I don't flaunt myself in any way. And so they have to, they see me as a threat. And this is, what a woman has to go through. And I hate speaking for women, but as I've been around them my whole life, I've seen it. They're just mistreated. There's no equality there. It's something that needs to be fought for. But unfortunately, you've got the men still holding hard on the patriarchy and treating women like shit. Then you've got extremist feminists that are only hurting the cause versus trying to help it. And the women in between who are just stuck there still dealing with this bullshit day in and day out. And that's kind of what we're seeing. And that's something that Marvel's also doing. And they're doing it subtly. And it's like something you didn't realize. Here we are, episode six. You're just like, wait a minute. These last two episodes, Jen basically just got shit on. She got shit on by all her former dates. She had to humiliate herself just to win a case that was a bullshit case to begin with. And now she's treated as dirt at this wedding. And she's shocked that a handsome man like Josh would approach her. Very worried that Josh is going to end up being evil. I really hope he's not. But most likely is. But the fact that, like, somebody like Jen Walters, Tatiana Maslany, should not be shocked that a man like Josh would come up to her and talk to her at a wedding. But she is, because she's a successful lawyer who doesn't, she just, that's what she does. Her whole life has been about her work. That's her focus. And so, yeah, it's a sad existence in a way. And like I said, it's more so highlighted by the fact that look at how she was treated when she showed up as She-Hulk at the wedding. When she got there for the dress rehearsal, all the girls were like, oh my God, look at you. You look so amazing. You're so sexy. You're so strong. You've really come into your own. And then boom, as Jen, those same exact women are like, hey, you're on iron duty. The guys wrinkled their shirts, playing Smash Brothers. Or, hey, the half the staff quit. Can you go pick up and clean up and blah, blah. Just treated like dog shit by other women.
I
It's
guess
just
that's just,
sad.
it really is. And how can you hate Jen? I mean, she's just so sweet. And she cared. She does care about people. She wants to help. And that's, I think that's why she became a lawyer in the first place.
Yeah. She's a good-hearted person.
But unfortunately, the people with the biggest hearts always get taken advantage of the most.
Let me see here. Momar says, sadly, I've had more problems with women I work with, probably for some of the reasons that Vince brought up. It's actually nice to hear anybody even talking about it. Imagine what will happen when she strongly blends the two together like Smart Hulk. That's the great thing about She-Hulk is that she is always blended. Because remember, even as She-Hulk, she's still 100% Jen Walters. Because it's not two different personalities fighting for control, it's just Jen. So she's always blended. What's going to be great, what we're going to see when she quote unquote strongly blends, as Denise put it, what we're going to see is when she fully accepts She-Hulk. By the end of the season, she will fully accept being She-Hulk. She'll put on that superhero costume that was made for her. Because you still see there's like, she's like, I want to see the costume. She's like, oh, no, I don't even want it. I don't know why he made it. I'm not going to put it on. By the end of the season, we will see her fully accept being She-Hulk, and that's where we're going to see the absolute best version of both Jen and She-Hulk. And that's what I meant for her emotionally. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. She will emotionally and spiritually accept being She-Hulk 100%, because right now it's more of a, it's still a party trick to her. Still a, hey, I can get people to like me kind of thing. But she very much will accept being She-Hulk fully, I'm sure, by the end of the season, and then when we get a season two, which I'm sure we will, it'll be more about her just commanding the role of She-Hulk versus just living with the role. So we're gonna see an even stronger version of her, an even stronger version that really, really plays into how amazing she can be. I did see a meme posted Twitter. Of the dance, like stills from the dance sequence. And it was just like, Tatiana Maslany has the greatest smile in all the MCU. And she does. This character is so fun loving. It is so great. But she can also step up when she needs to. She's going to make a great Avenger. He's gonna be great in those fights. Like those bigger fights, like the Kang Dynasty coming up and the Secret Wars and stuff like that. Seeing her be serious She-Hulk in those moments is gonna be amazing. But just the fact that she has that control, she has that emotional grounding, and the fact that Jen is always Jen is gonna be amazing to see in that role as well. It did such a great job with the series. I'm looking forward to see where it goes later. What do you guys think we can look forward to? I think that's a big part of what's coming up is that we've got 3 episodes left, 7, 8, 9. All the dude bros can relax. We are eventually getting a Daredevil cameo. But and I think Matt's role here is going to be showing her that you can live both lives. He's done it as closely to her as anybody because he's a lawyer too. So he's done it as a lawyer. I know in one of the trailers there was a con he makes the statement, as a lawyer, you defend the ones that need defending, but as a superhero, you defend the ones that the law can't protect. Or when the law fails, that's when She-Hulk comes into play. He said something like that. So I think we're going to see her finally like fully accept by the end of the season that she is now a superhero and a lawyer. She can live both lives. She can protect more people than any other superhero because she can protect them in the court. And then when the courts fail, she can protect them as She-Hulk. If you notice also, like not only did we get that scene, got that moment with the new needle in that lab. Also, the whole previously on portion in the beginning of the episode, they started on him destroying her blood. And that comment about it's too dangerous for your blood to get out there. Do you think sometime before Secret Wars we'll see Grey Hulk persona, Grey She-Hulk persona? I don't think we'll ever see Grey She-Hulk persona in the MCU. Not
No.
necessary. I don't think it works for her. And especially where she's at in the MCU and where she'll be in the MCU, I don't think it works. But I don't think we'll ever see the Grey She-Hulk persona or even a Savage She-Hulk. I don't think we'll see any of that. I think the focus is just going to be on making her a solid character as she is. Hulk's gone through enough transformations and we're going to see more coming up, obviously, with whatever he's doing. He did call Bruce while she was at the wedding, but couldn't get a hold of him. Obviously, as great as his cell signal was, it's not that great. But obviously, it's eventually like out of cell service eventually. It could be interesting to see her take a reverse journey as Bruce future, but I just don't think it's necessary. I don't think we need that. I think we just need her to be her, and I think we need her to just become part of the Avengers, but maybe not so much like a 100% all the time team member, but more of stepping in when the fight is too big kind of thing. Let her continue to be her lawyer, let her to continue to live her life. I think if we go any other route, we're going to end up taking away what we're building in this series. So I think that just keeping it as it is, like, She-Hulk attorney at law and allowing her to be both, I think that's a strong enough character that will be okay. I what Yeah, what are your feelings on, because like I said, we've got 3 episodes left. We've kind of already established we feel like we're going to get that solidification of Jen and She-Hulk accepting herself as both and finding a way to live as both. But what else do you think might be coming?
Obviously, we're gonna find out who's gonna be behind wanting to get her blood and why. Still, my theory is still on the leader since he has been announced that he is gonna be in the MCU and the new Captain America movie. But it could be somebody else. We don't know because what was the creepy guy's name in episode 3 on the date?
Yeah, the guy, yeah, he was also in the episode 5,
He was also. Him being back twice, and I did see another video where somebody saw that his credit name was like, wasn't his name like Jeff?
Something like that. There's a lot of J names in the show.
There is.
Well, I mean, like,
Excuse me. But I did see a video where somewhere somebody saw that his character name in an episode before Marvel edited was Hulk Jeff or something like that. But I don't know how much I believe that. But also, if it is the leader, because now that I'm thinking about it back, he did synthesize Bruce's blood multiple times. So he has stock of Bruce's blood.
But Jen's blood healed him.
That's true.
So it
So
healed the
maybe he just
Hulk.
wants, so maybe just wants,
Yeah, it's
maybe
more
that's
about,
the,
yeah.
so I don't know. I mean, there's so many things that could happen.
We also have the Madison arc with the goat and the demon and all that stuff. So that could come up again.
I don't think we'll get into more of that. I think that was just Marvel's way of trolling the
It could
fan.
be, yeah. It could, because I said
I
they're very
really do
self-aware.
because, you know, the Mephisto theories have been running rampant ever since
Phase four started.
WandaVision and every Disney Plus show has a Mephisto theory. So I really think it was like, okay, they want a Mephisto theory, let's give them this and just go nowhere with it.
Future brings up a great point, but I want to get back to a comment before that. Denise said, I think it's great having this series discuss something real. If it wasn't real, there wouldn't have gotten so much pushback. So hat tip to that. Yeah. Again, Marvel's very self-aware, but they're also very self-aware they need to fix the problem. They can't just allow this toxicity to continue through the fandom. So they're like, all right, we're going to call you out on it. Future brings up a good point, too. He's leaning more towards leader, as we both are, but he's leaning that way since they name drop Intelligentsia in this episode, which does have to do with the leader. It would make sense that he would be going after her blood. He's the only person I can think of that would want to go after her blood. And that could lead to him in Captain America New World Order, because that New World Order could be him trying to, like what he does a lot in the comics, where he's trying to gammonize everybody. Or, you know, in that way, it'll wipe out most of the population, and the ones that stick around, he can control that kind of thing. So I very much think it's probably going to be the leader. And yeah, the Intelligentsia name drop is a big thing. It's a QAnon thing, but it's also a nod to the leader. Going back to what Denise said, though, I do think it's great that this show is tackling these. And the thing is, other shows have done it too, but it's been more subtle. This has been so in your face with it. Like, flat out, where Jen has had to break the fourth wall and tell you. And it's just like Marvel, I think, is at the point now where it's like, look, you guys are gonna hate on everything if it's not cis white men in costumes. And you're idiots for that. And we're gonna call you out for it. So I think that a lot of the hate being done is it's being called out like that is very purposeful and very well done. And they're doing it in the best way possible. And it's created, like we talked about influencers before, how Titania has become an influencer. In this day and age, there's so many people that are influencers now. And you're seeing some of even the best influencers start to crack and start to show their true colors, and or at least feeding into the toxicity instead of combating it like they should be. And then you've got people like this Marvelous Mark on TikTok, who is just the absolute worst, just feeding off of it. But just like Titania, who still has her adamant followers, no matter what bad she does, these people have followers too. And what it does is, it's, I guess, the one good thing about these influencers is that it is actually almost sectioning off the world. You can literally, if you want to block as many toxic people as possible, you can literally go to Marvelous Mark's TikTok, go to who's following him, and then just start blocking. Because you know everybody who follows him thinks just like he does. So it does, in a way, kind of categorize the toxicity, sort of. But like Marvel, like I said, the post when they were scrolling through social media a few episodes ago, those were legit comments they got on Instagram. They changed the names, obviously, but
Anyway, they don't know anything.
yeah. And then this Intelligentsia site. Those are legit posts that have been on Reddit. They've been on Twitter. They've been on Instagram. They've been on TikTok. They're legit posts. They're not making any of it up.
No.
These toxic fans have made it too easy for the writers. They're not having to write half their episode because they're literally
Yeah.
just pulling crap right out of, they're pulling crap right out of the ether. Future says he's blocked Marvelous Marco Mazzini. I haven't blocked him yet, because I'm going to start doing some extra videos on YouTube where I debunk toxicity, and he is one of my first targets, because he makes it too easy. But it's also somebody that like it needs to be put in their place. You need to know that what they're doing is sexist and racist and wrong, and that being a troll for clout is short-lived fame that will blow up in your face. Monica says, I have not watched it yet, but hearing about it and the issues, and that is well represented. I'm going to start watching it tonight. What made you guys choose this series to talk about? Well, I think part of it is the fact that we're just nerds.
Yeah, pretty
And we love
much.
everything Marvel and DC. Like when Black Adam comes out, we're definitely going to talk about that. I've also, I like She-Hulk a lot. I love the John Byrne run in the late 80s, early 90s when they started breaking the fourth wall, or that was even really a term you heard. You know, it wasn't really a term you heard much of. But Future says, oh my God, LOL, my blood pressure can't take his face. I get it. Guy swears he's the tribal chief. Like he can't even come up with his own gimmick. Like he's stealing Roman Reigns' gimmick, trying to act like a badass. And this guy would probably scream higher than a 12-year-old girl if he ever got approached, you know, aggressively in a bar or something. He's the kind of person that like it makes me kind of like maybe this YouTube boxing thing is a good thing. Maybe we should have these people get, you know, start getting the crap beat out of them.
Just bring them down to earth a little bit.
Sorry, Monica, you had a commercial. Well, if you subscribe, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, the ads on Twitch can be a pain in the ass. I apologize. But we chose a series one because we're gonna cover everything Marvel, everything MCU, we're gonna cover it. But again, like She-Hulk is such, it's a fabulous character, and I knew, I just knew that Marvel was gonna be calling people out. I knew it. I knew they were gonna be calling people out. I knew that they were gonna be very self-aware with this character. This is the perfect character to be self-aware with. And I've always loved like law comedies. That's what this show is. It's a law comedy. Like Night Court, Ally McBeal, Boston Legal, all these great shows. Like there's so much comedy that can come from that. And so a character who is so well done, has had an amazing run in the comics, has been part of Fantastic Four, he's been an Avenger. Great. Great character. I was really looking forward to it. And I think Tatiana Maslany, one of the best actresses going today, is phenomenal. If you've never watched it, there's a show called Orphan Black. I highly recommend it.
Oh, I love that
If you
show.
ever want to see somebody's skill, have them play multiple characters in the same movie. And I'm not talking a Nutty Professor style where every gimmick is over the top, although that takes a lot of talent too, and I love Eddie Murphy to death. But like, in Orphan Black, she's playing all these, I guess basically, without spoiling the show, she's playing basically clones of herself, and each clone is a very distinct personality, very distinct and very different.
Yeah.
Similar to what we got in Moon Knight, where you had Oscar Isaac playing multiple personalities of himself, with Stephen Grant and Mark Spector. So I highly recommend Orphan Black. It's a much more serious take. There is some comedy in it, but it's a very serious drama. But it is a very, very good series. And if you like Tatiana Maslany in She-Hulk, you'll love her in that. So I highly recommend that. So between the actress and the fact that, for me, even when Marvel stumbles, even when something doesn't necessarily click that great, like, and I'll go back to Thor: Dark World or Iron Man 3, I still watch those movies. I still enjoy them. They're just not great. I think Marvel has done an excellent job of building this universe. And all the naysayers that, oh, phase four isn't connected or phase four is lacking, blah, blah, blah. They're looking at the past through rose-colored glasses, rose-tinted glasses, and I'm looking at this phase four as a much more cohesive unit than phase one was. And I think that they're doing an amazing job, and what they're building towards, to me, it's well worth watching. And also, Another great thing about the show, each episode's only like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, something I found interesting, I want to bring this up. We haven't got a post-credit scene in the last two episodes.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Like, so when they did the reviews and they sent out the show to the critics, they sent out the first four episodes. And those four episodes all had post-credit scenes. But now five and six haven't had it. And I find that weird, especially since, like, not every post-credit scene has been building to the next episode. They've been just sometimes it, like the twerking scene was just a funny throwaway.
Yeah.
It was just really funny. So the fact that they haven't done it in the last few episodes, I found that kind of weird. I didn't know what to think about that. I don't know what they're going with. Like, I'm sure at least the last two have to have post-credit scene. Would imagine.
I would be surprised if they didn't. I mean, for sure, guaranteed, the last episode's going to have a end credit scene that might lead to something, might lead to nothing. We don't know. But I would be really surprised if these episode 8 didn't have one.
Yeah, it's weird. So we'll have to wait and see next week if there is a post-credit scene or not. Don't really understand why there isn't. But it doesn't take away from anything. It's
No, it
just
don't.
now it's like sitting here and waiting, I'm waiting, and I'm like, we're gonna get one, or we're gonna get one, and then we don't. I'm like, oh, but
I mean, they even could have put the last scenes of the last two episodes as post-credit scenes, where you saw Daredevil's helmet in the hat box.
yeah, that could have been a post-credit
Or
scene. The
it
eating
could have been,
fries. The two
yeah, they
Josh and her
made
sitting there eating fries could have been a post-credit scene.
true.
So it's just a little weird they didn't do that. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on there. But that is something to pay attention to. Do we get one next week? Do we get one the week after? So we'll see how that goes. All in all, though, this series has been a home run after home run after home run. Even like I said, episode four to me is the weakest of all the episodes thus far. It's still a great episode.
Yeah.
And I know, like, this episode will probably feel like a lot of people's weakest episode just because it is a filler. But they flat out, t the fact that they flat out tell you in the very beginning of the episode that it is a filler episode, that it is inconvenient for this to pop up, and it's not going to have anything to do with anything else going on. But yet it still did. There was still the moment with the lab coat and the needle, like Titania showing up. There were still things that tied into the rest of the story, even though they basically told you it wasn't. But the fact that this episode was even called Just Jen, like the whole thing, it was so well done that it was the first time a filler episode felt proper. Like every series has had a filler episode, even the six episode series, they've all had one filler episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know if they felt like they needed to do that, or they were just the story wasn't flowing, and they like, oh, we gotta do a filler episode. I don't know if did Moon Knight really have one?
Mean, I kind of, I don't know. If you want to just say that
I
if
mean, maybe the
Moon
flashback
Knight.
episodes, kinda. Flashback episode, kinda. Like, they've either had a filler episode or they've
Yeah.
had, like, a massive episode. Five is always a flashback episode.
Yeah, a clip show pretty much.
Yeah. And so, those can feel like filler. So I'll say that. But this one, it happened in episode six and not episode eight or seven, I think was important. But I feel like they really like Marvel's like they've listened. And part of the thing is what people don't realize, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, a lot of those series were shot pretty much back to back. So they couldn't hear the criticism because they were already done. But then we heard it with Moon Knight, we heard it with Miss Marvel, where so they've as they're shooting the newer shows, they're taking into account what they're hearing. Marvel actually does listen to the fans. And they listen to the ones that are okay, let me rephrase that. Marvel listens to the rational fans. They don't listen to the toxic assholes. They also don't listen to the extreme other side of that, the people who are, crying out over the most ridiculous things, trying, blah 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 blah. They're very much listening to the rational fan. So they're very much on top of things. It's just that because of COVID, the series got put on hold and then they got shot all at the same time. So some of the valid criticism of the first few series for Phase 4 have been they were very similar and formulaic in their layout.
Yep.
And that's only because they couldn't make any changes because they'd already, you know, they were all shot at the same time.
Yeah.
Now that we're kind of pulling out of that and getting back to a normal shooting schedule, they're able to like, okay, let's, you know, and that's why they called this episode out. They said, hey, look, it's going to be a filler episode. Sorry. But I think it worked out really, really, really well.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, and the fact, like we said before, that they told us straight up, it's a filler episode. And just the fact that they also made it a wedding episode, just really smart, because weddings are very inconvenient. You got to schedule time. You got to make sure you can get off work. You got to do
What a
this
douchebag has a
and
wedding on a Thursday.
I know I got to start planning to go to a wedding next October. So I gotta save up money for that, get a suit for it and everything.
Also, quick sidebar. If you have a destination wedding and you're making people pay to go to Hawaii or the Bahamas or wherever you're having this, you're an asshole. I just want you to know
Yes.
that. You are an asshole. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an amazing day. I'm not saying you shouldn't have the wedding of your dreams. But if you're going to do a destination wedding, either pay for the people to come or expect to have nobody there.
Yeah.
Like, don't be like, it shouldn't cost people hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to go to your wedding. If that's the case, you're an asshole. And then, like in this one where they had the cash bar and everything, Jen spent a fortune on alcohol.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, don't be an asshole. I realize it's your special day and weddings can be great. I think the honeymoon is usually better. I think spend your money there. I had, you know, the greatest honeymoon of all time. And a very inexpensive wedding. And it was great. The honeymoon was where the memories were. The honeymoon is what was awesome.
Oh yeah.
Spend your money there. Spend your money there. Don't spend it on it like a $50,000, $100,000 wedding. Why? Spend it on the honeymoon.
Oh
Spend it on
yeah.
the honeymoon. Destination weddings are for people who can't shave down their invite list. Yeah, so they make people shave it down for them. Like, I can't afford to go. Sorry, not going. You know, yeah, no, don't be an asshole. And if you have a wedding in the middle of the week, you're also an asshole. It's okay to have it Saturday morning. I'll throw that out there.
Yeah.
Because I moved mine from Saturday night to Saturday morning because part of my honeymoon was a Disturbed concert Saturday night. So
Rock on.
that was great. Like I said, spend the money on the honeymoon and just enjoy your new partner. Don't worry about being ridiculous. Yeah, dry weddings. Like, I'm not a drinker, but I understand that a dry wedding is also a dick move.
Well, I had a
Unless,
dry.
like, there are times when a dry wedding is acceptable if, like, say, somebody's in recovery or, like, somebody's like, I've been sober now for 3 years, so we're not going to have alcohol at the wedding. Great. Yeah, got it. But,
Yeah, well, the only reason why I had a dry wedding is because it cost a little bit more for the venue that we got. And, you know, most of my family, you know, they're not drinkers. I have a few cousins and everything that I've drank with in the past, and they were fine with that. They didn't care. Everybody had a good time. My wedding was Doctor Who themed, by the way, so it was awesome.
yeah.
My
So I mean, it's
friend of
if you're
mine
good.
built a full size TARDIS for people to take pictures with and everything.
Nice.
It was great.
Look, if the option is either dry wedding or a cash bar, dry wedding. Sorry. Like that it don't make people pay for the alcohol. You're already having them come to your wedding to celebrate you, which I mean that's not a problem. Like they should you should be celebrated on your wedding day, but maybe don't make it ridiculous. How about that?
Yeah,
That's my
exactly.
tangent for the episode. We're gonna leave it at that. So all in all, one of the greatest things about this show is that we can talk about two episodes still within an hour and cover everything. I think it's great. This series has just been phenomenal. We have 3 more weeks of it. Cannot wait. It's going to be so good. There is other stuff to watch. The new Star Wars Andor series is out.
Oh, and can I just want to throw this out that what's Jen's friend's name? I can't remember.
Nikki?
Nikki, yeah. Nikki and Poke are my new two favorite characters in the show.
Yeah,
Because
they're
I
amazing.
five. Oh, they had so much fun together.
The Avengers, so
The
cool.
Avengers. Yes, I want
The
I
fact
want them.
that Marvel changed their image to that knockoff image and changed their name to Avengers instead of Avengers for a while, I thought that was great. Also, there's a little nod in that episode. I'll bring it up real quick. One, in the picture of the Avon, it's actually the Avengers one, the one with the I instead of the O. The Captain America model is actually NFL pro. So there was a short-lived
I saw
comic in the
that,
90s where a guy was an NFL player, but he was also a superhero. And that was a tie-in with the NFL. So I thought that was funny. And then that
yeah, very.
during the credits, we saw Pug's shoe collection. And there was a Cyclops shoe, a Thang shoe, a Deadpool shoe, a Nova shoe, a
Gambit,
Vision shoe.
Deadpool,
Yeah, there were so many. There's a there
so
if you
many.
just go look, there's plenty of pictures now where people have labeled each one of them. All these different shoes, little Easter eggs, just for the fans. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're coming to the MCU. It's just more of a nod to the fans kind of thing. But
Just
also,
like, we got you.
yeah, it's also fueling. Marvel knows how to fuel some rumors because Nova's rumored for the Marvels. Obviously, the X-Men are coming at some point, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought you got Fantastic Four coming. I thought that was all great, and really cool. So all in all, like I said, the series is it's just been phenomenal. It's been so much fun. It touches on real issues, and it doesn't like even though it is kind of like in your face with it, it's also not shoving it down your throat. It's a very palatable way of discussing the issue. It's a very like, look, this is a real deal. This is
Yeah.
something that, look, even a superhero has to deal with. You would think who would go after somebody like a Hulk, but people still do. And it shows that even somebody of a superhero status isn't immune to the toxicity that's out there. So I like that a lot. I think that it handled the situation well, handles the situation well, and will continue to handle the situation throughout the series. We're going to see Jen grow into fully accepting herself as She-Hulk by the end of this, and I think it's going to be great.
Oh yeah, I can't wait either. I mean, it's been a fun ride, and I've enjoyed every episode. I probably disliked episode five the most because I felt so bad for Chen for having to humiliate herself by bringing these bad dates back and them telling it was like, yeah, Jen's okay. I didn't click with her, but She-Hulk, yeah,
Yeah.
oh yeah. And I was like, oh, Jen, I want to give you a hug. Come
Yeah.
here.
Seeing her sink into her chair, I thought was great too. All
Yeah.
right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for us today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, if you could like, subscribe, do all the stuff on social media that you're supposed to do. Greatly appreciate it. Let your friends know. And we will see you guys next week.